Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Jake.
And I'm Josh.
And today we are watching episode 351 of Power Rangers, Power Rangers Lightspeed Rescue episode, I think 13?
Yeah, that's right. I do not endorse or condone the ham horn. I just want everyone to know the ham horn here at the Morphin Grid is hashtag non-spawn.
They don't look. They couldn't pay me to love this app anymore.
This episode aired on May 6, 2000, is written by Judd Lynn and Jackie Marchand.
Okay, it's called Ryan's Destiny. I don't think I got that far.
And directed by Ryuta Tasaki.
We did it. We made it. 351, everyone's that, favorite big number.
You know, that big milestone.
Yep.
351. Everyone was losing their mind about The Simpsons episode 351.
It's everyone's favorite episode. It's the one with that guy. Bart does all that stuff he does.
I bet Bart causes some mischief.
I bet so. He writes on a chalkboard in the beginning. Love it. Best episode.
And Lisa is frustrated because she's too smart.
Yep.
And Maggie sucks a pacifier.
That's it.
That's The Simpsons.
That's the best episode, 351. I almost started doing the where you can find us stuff. If you're new here, hey, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. So that's 351. I just did a ham horn that Josh hates, so now I'm doing this part that Josh also hates to get it all out. I forgot how to start. If you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We watch an episode of Power Rangers. We go pause recording. Do the Power Rangers.
We don't pause the recording and then go pause the recording.
Yeah, we do it twice every time.
Double pause. You just really got to make sure. It's like when you don't want your shoes to come untied, so you double knot it.
Double knot them, yeah.
We don't want this to just start recording again, so no. We double pause it.
Yeah, so also then we talk about the show. I had a lot of pizza right before we started. Guys, I'm too much Zod out. I got too much Zod in me. Let's go watch an episode. I'm going to try not to fall asleep because of all this Zod. Rescue ready!
We're back, and we just fulfilled Ryan's destiny.
We did.
Sort of, I guess.
I think we did. I'm pretty sure we got to his death. I mean, like, I don't want to spoil anything, but it's Power Rangers. You can figure out what happens, I bet. MorphinGrid.tumblr.com is our website. So it's jakeandjosh.com/MorphinGrid. That's where the archives are. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at MorphinGrid. We're on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podknife, Podbay, Poddad, Podham, Podham and Podhorn. No,
PodMeDaddy.com.
PodMeDaddy.com. Pods. All the best podcatchers. You can leave us a rating review on any of those. We'd really appreciate it. Helps people find the show. Helps us climb up charts. And you know how podcasts need that.
We live and breathe by the charts.
We need the charts. I don't know. You can't find charts that reach down this low. So I don't know. I don't know why we're so worried about it. Also, we're on Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh for as little as $1 a month. You get some neat stuff in return, including Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills episodes. Where we talk about that wild and crazy show from 1994. Just the rip-offest show, I think, that they could have made. Very rip-off a show. But it's pretty good. There's a good show buried within it, if you can believe it. That's all. That's it, right?
I think so.
So it's Monday, and as is our new tradition, we don't do any extra stuff on Monday. We just jump right in. So, Josh, are you ready?
Yep.
I didn't sleep off any of that pizza, so I'm not going to guarantee the quality of this episode, but I will guarantee the quality of Conan's Pizza, hashtag non-spawn. We start off on Dr. Fairweather. She's in the lab, and there's an intruder alert, and it's coming up the lift.
Yeah, there's a big flashing sign behind her that says lift. It's very, like, 1960s Batman.
Yeah.
Like, the lift is activated.
Lift. Here's the thing. Lift is going slowly. If it's an intruder, wouldn't you, like, stop the lift.
And where is the, this lift is coming up.
Yeah.
So where did they intrude from?
He, so what, this is a lift that they put the rescue rover on. So there's like a big, okay, super long highway underwater that Ryan walked down. Spoilers, it's Ryan. And I guess he found the entrance and walked all the way here and got onto the lift part.
Where's the rescue rover?
That I cannot answer.
Are the Rangers out on a mission?
Maybe. They don't show up.
They don't show up to stop him. Two security guards with like batons come up and just, I don't know. It was manhandle very funny to me, and I can't tell you why these two like little dudes just like try to bully Ryan for
a minute. That's part of it. He's much taller than them, yeah. And it's only two guys. There's like 40 scientists standing around, and two dudes in like security outfits come up, and they like grab his collar, and they're like, hey, we'll hit you with these batons.
They come like rushing in, and one of them like puts it in his chest and like rocks him back and forth a little bit.
Does
like,
nothing.
Don't make me hit you with the pointy end of this
I'll
stick.
Do what I promise. But Dr. Ferber was like, hey, let him go. Like, get out of here, two guys. You showed up twice. If he was like, if he wanted to kill us, he would have gotten at least 10 of us by now because of your terrible response time. So like,
it must have been awkward when his head came up over the lift and he had to just like stare at everyone as the lift went up the rest of the way.
Like, yeah, it's me, Ryan.
Yeah, all the surprise is gone. This is a very slow lift.
If you can just turn around, be surprised when I get all the way up, you'll know when it stops. It makes a big noise. So she escorts him to the captain's office. I don't know if she escorts him there, but like we kind of fade to a little, like a couple minutes later, and he's walking up to the captain's office. And I just assume she's like, I will take you there. We don't see it though. And captain comes out and he's like, Ryan, I knew you'd come back. You have a place here in Lightspeed. It's going to be great. And he's like, no, I came here to say goodbye because of all the Tommy stuff. You know, the classic, I don't know.
I've got Tomitis.
I don't know if I'm even good. I'm poisoned with evil. It's also pretty Star Wars. It's kind of Star Wars.
Yeah, there's a little bit. Although he was raised by demons for at least 15 years.
That's got to mess you up, I bet.
And like, he's probably like, I'm not going to just be better overnight, but also like, I am better overnight.
He is much better overnight, and I don't think it's like bad. Like, it's not like, oh, he didn't earn it because like he found out it was a lie and that like,
yeah,
the bad guys are just bad and not bad. And he's like, he was with them because he was mad at his dad, but right. He's not mad at his dad anymore. So he's like, I don't have to be with the evil people anymore. So I think that's it. I'm okay with it. I just wrote Star Wars because it's just very Star Wars-y. And he's like, I need to figure out, like, who I am, so I'm just going to leave, and I'm going to go somewhere and figure that out. And so Captain Mustache goes into his desk, and he grabs a little pencil case, probably formerly housed the lights of Orion.
It's not, like, the sparkly one that the lights were in. And it's a little smaller.
It's a little smaller, and it is, it's like that, like, you know, when you drop oil on the ground on accident, it's like that a little bit.
Right.
That, like, effervescent. I guess is the
it's like shiny metal. It's like titanium a little. It's weird. Kind of like titanium.
I think. I mean, maybe it's titanium. Who knows? Literally, no way to tell.
Anything could be in that box. You never know what's in there.
Yeah,
until you open it.
It's just some really cool pencils. They say Ryan on them. So he gives Ryan the pencil case and he says that like there is an ocean of goodness inside of you, and as soon as you realize that you are truly good, open this case. He's like, all right, I will let you go. If you love him, let him go. So he walks away, and Dana sees him and like shoves some scientist to get out, like to get to him. And
she like bumped into them in the hallway and was just like, hey, watch it, loser.
He tries to like apologize, and she's like, I don't care. Like and then she starts running toward him. She's like, Ryan. And then the doors close again. He just like lets these doors close that I'm assuming is a big elevator.
Yeah, he's shaking his head no at her as the doors shut like in her face.
I think it's like. It's too hard.
Yeah, I think that's definitely how it's played. It's just funny that she's like Ryan, and he's like, "No way,
not me. I'm Cliff. Sorry,
I've been Cliff my whole life.
You got Cliff here. Demon's name is Cliff." Then we cut to the theme song, and when we come back, we are at the Demon Palace, and Bashira is in a classic main bad guy mood. You know how every time we come back from a theme song on a main bad guy, they're always mad at one of their subordinates. She's just mad at Diabolico. She's like, you're an idiot. My baby can do better than you. And if you don't do better, you have like one more chance. And if you don't do better, I'm going to give my baby your star power. And he like touches his chest, and there's like a star there that I never noticed before, but I'm going to assume it's been there the whole time.
But it is in the Sentai footage, so it must be part of the costume. Yeah.
So he's like, not my star power. How dare you, to a baby? I don't think so.
How am I going to get all the sweet movie roles if you take away my star power?
My star power. I'll have to just do a bunch of conventions. That was too mean. That's too pointed and mean. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry, any Power Rangers actors listening. It's a real good gig if you can get it. Same thing with a lot of Buffy actors. A lot of people from niche shows kind of ride the convention circuit pretty hard. You know, good for you. You're making that cheddar away from Papa Saban. So do you. Where was I? Diabolico has a deck box of three cards. It's a full box. Still got three cards in it.
Yep.
So three Egyptian god cards. It's Obelisk the Tormentor, Ra the Sun God. I don't remember what Ra's name was. And then the other one that I couldn't remember last time was Slifer the Sky Dragon.
Slifer?
Slifer.
Slifer no slifing.
Slifer no slifing. There's a guy on the One Piece episodes that I'm watching named Wiper, and I'm like, every time they say it, I'm just like, Wiper, no wiping. He also is like, Bumblebee and Cumberbump is like, I hate this baby. You can't. I will not work for this baby. Viper's like, I don't know, I like the baby. And he's like, I hate the baby.
She walks up while the baby's just like sleeping, and she's like probably dreaming of a city destroying he's going to do.
He's probably dreaming of when you're no longer his dad now.
She at some point, I can't remember exactly what she said. She definitely skipped. She said haha, obviously.
Obviously, death taxes and haha.
But she definitely skipped over an article somewhere. So there's like an of or a the that's just missing.
He's probably dreaming when you will be not in charge anymore. And
when city destroy him.
Who is she? Who is she? WWE? He has these three cool cards, and he's like, I'm going to throw them in the fire right now. And Jinx is like, those are your last three cards. He's like, yeah, and I'm using them. So he throws them in there, and out pop a hawk guy, a knight, and a big boy. The big boy's like, Wrecking Ball.
He's like a spiky Wrecking Ball.
He's like a Wrecking Ball boy. He does talk. I didn't know that for most of the episode.
Takes him a minute.
Takes him a little bit to rev up.
Sir Knight does most of the talking.
Knight does most of the talking, and the Hawk does a lot of talking, and I like the Hawk's voice. Like, the voice and look combo work really well for me.
Yeah.
For this Hawk guy. And they teleport away, and they like land somewhere in Mariner Bay, and they're like, yes, with these evil feathers we will destroy this town. And they're like, and they
and just some like feathers land in the park.
Yeah, there's like some feathers in some places. I thought they were from the Hawk guy, and there's like, give me, I'm just gonna rip some of these out.
We do see like a back shot as they're just puffing feathers over the city, and they do all have tiny little wings.
They got little wingies. Okay.
They are tiny wingers.
They're the mini wingers.
The mini wingers.
So we cut to Ryan, who's walking in the park, and he sees a feather, and he picks it up and says, oh, cool feather. And he keeps walking, and then a kid, like a little girl, goes to throw a ball at her brother and misses 100,000%, and it bounces over to Ryan, and he picks it up. And the little boy's like, sorry, my sister sucks at throwing balls. And Ryan's like, well, why don't you teach her how to, like, it's good because, like, you can teach her how to throw better. And he's like, she just, like, tags along. It's, yeah, like, classic sibling stuff.
Why don't you teach your sister to throw a ball? Well, I hate her, actually.
He doesn't say that. He just says, like, oh, she's annoying. Like, she's always tagging along. And, like, as an older brother, I get it. Like, that's how I felt about Scoot when I was little. Because, you know, you're young and dumb. You don't know better. And he's like, well, like, you guys got to stick together. And I forget what else he says. Oh, if she was gone, you would miss her. Trust me.
Yeah.
So, like, he did miss his sister, but he also hated his sister last episode.
Did he just start missing her now?
I think once he realizes that, like, it, like, the story he was told, which was that, like, Captain Mustache hated him and liked his sister, once he found out that's a lie, then, like, now he misses her because he could have had a sister this whole time. So, he gives the little boy the feather, and he's like, go give this to her as a present. And he's like, cool, thanks, mister. And he runs off, and kid gives his sister the little feather, and it's very cute. Then we cut to him at the bus station, and they say Van Nuys, like, to the Van Nuys, next to the Van Nuys station. Van Nuys is, like, right outside Los Angeles, so I think Mariner Bay might be near there. somehow, because Angel Grove is like not LA.
Right, right.
And then there's like next year there's Silver Hills. There's like a place called Silver Lake in Los Angeles. And then like Mariners Bay might be like, I don't know, like San Diego, which is like a couple hours south of LA.
Is that like a port city?
Yeah, it's like on the water. Okay. It's a big ocean town.
And Silver Hills would be like San Francisco.
Maybe.
Because San Francisco is like infamously a hill.
Hilly, yeah. Maybe. I never thought about that. I was assumed it was like Silver Lake, which is like the fancy part of LA.
There's a Silver Lake in Athol, Massachusetts, too. So.
Yeah. There's a Sunshine Lake in Jaffrey. We call it Scumshine. It's a pretty bad lake. So Ryan's having trouble reading?
That's how it reads, right? Because he's like at the bus stop and he's looking at his paper schedule.
I'm assuming.
I guess it's the bus schedule. And then he looks up at that bus schedule and he looks at the guy behind the counter and he just crinkles up the paper one and walks away.
Yeah, it definitely reads like the dude was named me Cliff and didn't teach me how to read. And so he goes and he sits down next to an old lady who I feel like I have seen in something before. She's just a very quintessentially old lady.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like she's had work done a long time ago, and that work is starting to wrinkle. Like, that's how that's how old she looks.
Yeah, she's here to teach Ryan a life lesson.
Yeah. She is a good actress, though, so, like, I'm glad you got someone who can at least deliver these lines nice.
Yeah.
Because she's like, what's up? Like, I don't know if she, like...
She asks where he's going.
Yeah, he's like, I don't know.
Hell if I know, lady. Yeah,
I can't read. And so she's like, oh, just follow your heart, and then you'll get where you need to be. And then she winks at him, and she like gets up and leaves. And okay, here's my theory about this woman. She's an angel. Okay? Because they're fighting demons.
Right.
Angels can't really interfere because they're good, and good guys follow the rules more than bad guys do. So like they can't interfere. But give them a little nudge. A little nudge in the right direction. Also, like, the three bad guys have, like, angel wings. So, like, I don't know. I'm assuming they're, like...
Those are demon wings. That's why they're so tiny.
Fallen angels, maybe?
Maybe.
But, yeah, that's just my theory. There's also some angels hanging out. Every time you see someone that's just like, hey, I'm just here to help for no reason, that's probably an angel, I think.
Oh, I've taught you a lesson? Wink, I have to go.
She literally winked at us, so...
Yeah.
Come on. We cut back to the lab, and there's an alert going off, and there's trouble times three, because there's the three bad guys there.
Carter can't believe it. He's like, three?
Which I like, because there's five Power Rangers, right?
Yeah.
Like, so, like, they still have the numbers, but, like, it's all they can do to beat one monster. Like,
right.
Like, they're pretty much good at beating one monster. They recently had to get entirely new Zords, because that wasn't really working on some of them. So I like that he's like, this is not good. Like, three sucks. But then they go anyway because they're Power Rangers. They have to do it.
Right. I think Chad's the one who's like, well, let's go.
It's time to go.
Time to go fight three monsters.
So I realized while I was editing the episode that just went up today, 3:49, that they are the Justice League.
I saw that. You said that.
So Carter's Superman, obs. Dana's Wonder Woman, obs. She's the best fighter, same as Wonder Woman.
Right.
Joel is Green Lantern because he's green and he's a fighter pilot and kind of a dink,
sure.
like Hal Jordan is. Chad is Aquaman, definitely, because he loves his fishes. Kelsey, I had a little trouble placing, but Shannon said Hawk Girl, which is perfect. She's 100% Hawk Girl. And then Ryan, I'm assuming, is going to be Batman.
Oh, of course. He's the dark brooding one.
Yeah, he's a loner. He's the guy. He's super powerful because Batman can do whatever. Batman, blah, blah, blah. That's people who say Batman is better than Superman.
He just has more money than Superman.
He just has cash. Like, that's it. And a lot of extra time because he had to work.
I love Batman, but the older I get, the more I appreciate Superman.
Superman is very good, actually.
Yeah.
I like Batman too, but I don't like... It's the same thing with Deadpool. I like Deadpool, hate Deadpool fans. Like, I like Batman. A lot of Batman fans can go pound snow. Like, you're thinking about Frank Miller's Batman, who somehow beat up Superman, which is ridiculous, patently ridiculous. It's a power fantasy. Never going to happen. Never going to happen in real life. He could go into space with you and you would die because you can't breathe up there. You're just a guy, Batman. I don't want to get it.
He has kryptonite in his belt.
Well, guess what? Superman's got laser vision that he can shoot from wherever in the world. Or off the world and still hit him. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Anyway, Lightspeed Rescue is a Justice League, and I think it really works. They figured out the archetypes. It's very good. The Rangers go. They start fighting these three bad guys, and they do pretty bad. Joel goes up against Hawk Guy. Or no, not Hawk Guy. Night Guy. Or was it Hawk Guy?
I think it was Night Guy.
I think it was Hawk Guy because I think the Night Guy has a staff and he did the pole dancing trick on it.
Okay.
I think that's how it works. Either way, maybe you're right. Maybe it's the other way around.
I honestly don't remember.
Don't remember. I know that the girls get beaten up by the big wrecking ball man.
Yeah, he juggles them like Donkey Kong and Smash
yeah,
Brothers.
Yeah, literally just like, oop, oop, whoop. The second guy, whether it's the Hawk Guy or the Night Guy, beats up Carter and Chad. And does like this like pole dance maneuver where he like stabs his staff into the ground and starts spinning around
it. I think that is the Hawk. He seems more like a pole dancer than
I think so too.
Sir Kibble's over there.
And so he like knocks him out. But the first thing that happens is Joel gets his head grabbed by the Knight and slammed into a car three times. And then like Joel spins around to shoot the Knight, who is gone, who is now standing on top of the car. Joel jumps into the car and the car gets cut in half, hamburger style. So, like, the like entire roof comes off. And then, like, just Joel gets wrecked. Like,
yeah.
It's pretty good. Real good fights this season.
Yeah.
The morph stuff is amazing. But, like, the Sentai footage is, like, still very, very good.
Yeah.
So, then they talk about how the feathers are going to kill everybody. Like, well, how? And, like, well, at nighttime, they blow up. Like this, and they darken the sky, and then
it's really weird. I think it's the Knight, like, fires this dark blast up that covers the sun, and then it, and then that, like, shoots a UFO abduction beam over the Rangers, which that creates a dome of darkness around them, which makes the feather blow up.
Well, the feather blows up, and they're also trapped in the dome, so they can't get out away from it. And then they, like, blow up, and they blow away, and they're like, what was that? And he's like, my nighttime boom feathers, ah-ha-ha-ha. And so then they're, like, they're everywhere, and they're all going to blow up at sunset. And the only way you can stop it is if you kill all three of us by then, which is, like, such a Power Rangers villain thing to say.
Right, but apparently it's, like, 5:45 at night.
It is.
Because they do not have very long before the sun starts to go down.
I think that Mariner Bay might actually be in Texas because Texas does this cool thing where it's completely, like, right now, it is 8 o'clock at night. There's still sun in the sky.
It's still daytime outside.
It's still basically daytime. In 12 minutes, darkness, pitch black. It'll just, like, the sun, like, is like, and I'm off. So I think they might be there because that's basically what happens between scenes. So we get shots of, like, feathers everywhere. Like, all over the park.
Yeah, it looked like they only originally threw, like, three feathers out. And then we see this shot of just, like, the park littered with feathers.
The ground
is
littered.
Kids are just, like, rolling around in them, throwing them up in the air.
There's one kid just, like, scooping them up and be like, I got so many feathers. Just, like, running around. Like, that kid's wicked dead if he doesn't get rid of them. Then, what I really like about this is that we cut to the captain, who, again, has, you know, the HUD cameras. So he's like, oh, my God, put out an alert, like, get all these feathers. They're like, we need to get these feathers, which is such a ridiculous thing to say that he says completely straight faced. So good on him. It also reminded me of a side quest in Assassin's Creed 2. We have to collect 100 feathers. Well, then we cut to the bus station where Ryan's about to get on his bus to Van Nuys, which they say a lot. I guess there's a lot of cool stuff in Van Nuys.
They're really pushing it.
When I lived there, it was not great. wasn't a great place to go. So, at least a side near where I was. Ryan sees this TV report as he's about to get on the bus of, like, the feathers are going to blow up. They're super dangerous. They're going to kill everyone. We see people in, like, literal, like, bomb diffusing suits, like, picking up feathers with those little, like, scoopy grippers.
Yeah.
What's that movie called? Hurt Locker. They're like, it's like a bunch of Hurt Locker people. Like, picking up feathers. It's crazy. What a Power Rangers thing to do.
What a time to be alive.
So Ryan crumples up his ticket, because he don't need it, because he gave a kid a feather. And he, like, I think he gets a flashback of giving the kid a feather.
He has a flashback of giving the kid a feather. I think he sees or hears, like, the news story about the feathers.
Yeah, no, he sees it, yeah.
Because it's this weird, like, silent flashback, and then there's, like, the bus driver's honking the horn, but we can't hear anything, and he looks at the bus driver and crumples up his schedule again.
I think that was just a straight-up ticket.
That might have been his ticket. He just runs away from the bus.
Starts booking it back to the park. We cut to the park for a second at some point. I don't know if it was before then or after this. And like a mom is coming to get those two kids. Like, all right, let's go. And they're like, look, what is, look, we got a feather. And she's like, oh, neat. And puts it in the little girl's backpack, like sticking up out of it. And they start walking away. And then we cut back to the Power Rangers. And they, this is great because I was like, is this going to happen? And then it happened. And I was like, oh, okay. It just happened. So Joel has one of them. Kelsey has one of them. Chad has one of them. The bad guys.
Yeah.
Carter and Dana are facing them, but a little bit away.
They're like across the battlefield.
Yeah. Carter calls the Unilaser. Dana helps him like steady it, and they fire. And they literally, as soon as they fire, the three bad guys who they need names, the three Egyptian god cards, take the Rangers that are holding them and just throw them into the middle of the blast. Like,
yeah.
Like, and they get hit with a laser instead.
Yeah, because Joel like grabs the knight and he says, Carter, shoot it now. And so Carter's like, yeah, okay. And he shoots it. And then all the other Rangers just like take the whole shot.
Yeah, it's like really, it's bad for the Power Rangers. But I like that it's like, here is the bad guys being effective villains. Like, they're doing good. They're doing a good job at being bad guys.
And then Carter's like, what? What do you mean he didn't wait for me to charge this thing for 20 minutes before he moved?
And they're like, oh, crap. So then we cut back to Ryan, who gets to the park, and the sun is setting, and he's like, oh, no, and because the kids are gone. Because, like, yeah, they're not going to, like, how long did it take you to get to the bus stop? Like, how long were you waiting there? Like, they're not going to be there all day. They're kids. They probably got to school. They got backpacks, at least, so they must have school. Then we cut back to the Rangers. The sun is now low in the sky. It's orange. Everything's orange now. So they try to, like, they run away from the three Egyptian god cards, and they trick them into an alley. And they're like, now we gotcha. And they're up on top of a building. And they shoot the Unilaser again. And they just, like, put up a little shield, and it bounces it right back at them.
Bounces it back, and they get blown off the building now.
Chad lands real hard.
He hits, like, I don't even know what to call it. It's not a support beam, but you know how, like, fancy buildings have, like, the walls, and they have, like, the little notches, kind of, that come out at the bottom of the wall?
Yeah.
He lands, like, back first on one of those.
Poor guy.
And then Dana just falls, like, the rubble is foam.
Yeah.
But, I mean, she just falls right into the rubble.
Like, right. It's still rough.
She, like, bounces off a slab of concrete.
Yeah, it's rough looking. And they're like, you guys are idiots. You're going to die. Like, we're going to beat you every time. So then we cut back to Ryan on a bridge, and he sees them, and the kids are talking about how, like, a man gave me the feather. It was really cool. And he sees him, throws his backpack down, starts busting for it. And the son is like, oh, mom, that's the guy. Like,
yeah. And it keeps cutting from, like, Ryan running to the sun setting behind a hill.
It's very dramatic.
Yeah.
He grabs the feather just in time, throws it off the bridge, which would have just stopped. Like, when you throw a feather, like, it catches the wind immediately unless you throw it, like, perfectly nose first.
Well, he was raised by demons. He knows how to throw a demon feather.
I'm sure. Sure. Yeah, that's a fair point. So then he's like, get down. And he, like, grabs them. And we see that the feather explode. And the way it explodes, like, it turns blue and then blows up. So it's, like, different. I think some feathers are different than other feathers. I don't know.
It did look like when they were showing them all, it was the whole montage of feather stuff.
Yeah.
It looked like some of them had different colored, like, little sections down toward the point. Like, some were blue, some were red, some were green.
Yeah, so maybe this one had nothing on it. So maybe it's just, like, it blows up by itself.
Maybe it's just, like, big balls guys. He has red feathers. The other ones are green. The other ones are blue.
Or it's like a production error, but, like, we're going to kayfabe it.
Right.
So it blows up, and he saves them. They are saved. And
what a roller coaster the mother must have just been on for, like,
right?
30 seconds. Like, her son's like, that's the guy that gave me the feather. He's really cool. He just runs up, rips the feather out of the girl's backpack, and throws it off a bridge. So and then, now you're like, I thought he was cool. And he's like, get down. Oh, why? And then it blows up. And she's like, oh, my God, I almost blew up my daughter.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because, like, they turn around, like, there he is. And he just starts busting ass at them. It's like, oh, that big grown man is running right at us. But then they thank him, and the kid says, the boy says, you're my hero. And then we get a flashback to earlier when the captain's like, you have an ocean of goodness in you, and once you figure it out, open this case. So he walks over, and he opens the case, and Josh, what's in the case?
It's the titanium morpher.
Obvious.
Of course.
It's the light of Orion. Just one.
The light of this Ryan.
And so we cut back to the Power Rangers, and they are, like, on the ground, and the three Egyptian god cards are about to come. Like, whichever one has a spear, I don't remember which one it is about to straight up stab Carter in the head with it. Like, he's like, oh, time to kill you now. And then Ryan jumps in, kicks him, and, like, knocks him away. And they're like, Ryan! And then he morphs. And then there's, like, a rock remix of the Power Rangers Lightspeed theme song.
When he jumped in, you said, we have to get you a jacket.
Gotta get him a jacket now.
He morphs, and we get his morph sequence. So he goes from button-up black untucked shirt to jacket. Lightspeed rescue jacket.
I mean, they're not filming it twice. So
that's true.
They could have.
But, I mean, I don't know. I understand why they would use the morph sequence here.
This first time he's like officially a Power Ranger.
But maybe like, because he's not officially on the team yet. He's just like helping them out. So maybe maybe he could have just morphed.
Yeah, I think they could have done a
running morph or something as he charges the monster. Just so it's not so blatant. He has no jacket. He's in this jacket.
Right. I think what they could have done is film one that is like more neutral. Like, just, it's only used once. It doesn't need to be as fancy. You don't even need to use special effects on it. Just, like, as many special effects. Just, like, use whatever you have laying around. Like, use, like, the stuff from Mike's transformation. Just, like, instead of that background, just use Mike's old one. Like, just real quick with him in this outfit. And then have the one that you're going to use for the rest of the time. Because, like, he'll get a jacket in a couple of minutes. So, it's
the same problem. It's the opposite problem of last episode. He threw the morpher on the ground and then had it.
So I guess he didn't actually have it. I think they just forgot to take it off when they were filming.
Yeah.
Because, like, he had to get it from Cap Mustache. So then he starts beating the piss out of them. That's it. That's pretty much it. I forget exactly how. He doesn't, like, kill him because, like, he knocks him down. He's like.
He does some kick moves. He gets his foot caught and does, like, an enziguri.
He disarms the spear, the trident from one of them. And he's like, says something like, you know, bring it on. I can do this all day, something like that. And then the three Egyptian guys are like, you didn't beat us. And they disappear.
Yeah, he's the last thing he does is he like kicks some. It might be when he takes the spear and then kicks whoever away. And he just leaves his foot hanging up for like, I don't know, the rest of the episode. It felt like it was so long. He's still taunting them and like trash talking them with his whole foot just all the way up in the air.
In like a straight up JCVD kick split, like standing split. It's impressive.
It is.
So that's good, but it's also like, have you seen my crotch? Here's the whole thing. And then he powers down. Dana runs up and hugs him. They're all like congratulating him, like, yeah, you're on the team now, like we're doing this. And then we kind of go to commercial, we come back, and when we come back, they're giving him a jacket. And Kelsey's like, I think it should fit. Something like that. And
I mean,
like,
they're all double XL jackets.
Well, his fits him a little better than everybody else's.
Well, he's
does.
A little bit bigger than everyone, except maybe Carter.
I think Carter's a little more broad, but he's a little taller. I don't know. I just see him standing next to each other and not moving for a minute. But it's you know, he's got the jacket. This is what we're doing. It's part of the team. They do a little congratulating. Joel tries to be gross by being like, women, you love men in uniform, and you love me even when I was in uniform.
Yeah, he like puts his arm around Kelsey and is like, women loved me before I had a uniform. And she just like as ifs him.
She no, oh, did you not see what she did?
No.
She's like, I'm gay. And then and then she puts her elbow up and hits her hand. So she just elbows him in the stomach.
Yeah, like, I have a beautiful girlfriend waiting for me.
Thank you. Get in line. And then get out of line because I'm not interested. Get out of this line. So then they're like laughing about that and they walk away. And Carter and Chad are like, all right, later night. And so he goes to his room because bedtime. And so cut to him sleeping like Dracula. He's perfectly flat on his back. His coat, his new jacket falls off of his chair. And then we cut to his face, and he's real sweaty.
He's so sweaty.
So someone definitely just sprayed him down to be like, well, yes, a nice little mist of sweat. And then we cut into his dream, which I thought was going to be a flashback. I thought it was like secretly a flashback, but it's not actually.
I still don't know.
I think it is
a dream, but it might also be like him just dreaming of what happened when he was trying to escape.
I mean, in a second, once we talk about it, I'll say why I don't think it's a flashback anymore, but, like, they play it both ways, so it's hard to tell. So he has this nightmare that he's like running through the demon palace, and Diabolico's on top of a pillar and like zaps him, and it chains him to the pillar, and then it rips his shirt off, and he zaps his lower back and like draws a cobra, like a douchey cobra on him. And now he has this tattoo, and he's like, a tattoo.
He's got a nice frat tat now on his back.
In the weirdest place, like it's on his lower back, but not in the middle. Like it's on one side of his lower back.
Yeah, it's like the lower right hand quarter of his back.
Yeah, and it's like a really weird place, and there's just like, here's a cool frat tat. Sorry. Then this is your life now. And Diabolico explains that now, every time you morph, that little boy is going to crawl farther and farther up your body until it gets to your neck. And when it does, it's going to bite you and you're going to die.
You will be destroyed.
With poison.
To death.
For real, though. And so then he wakes up and he like walks through the corridors.
Yeah, I think he's like on his way to like the bathroom to splash some water on his face or something. He's just like, man, what a dream.
He stops somewhere with like a mirror locker and opens it and looks in the mirror, and he like pulls up his shirt and he sees the cobra, and that's like what we end on.
Yeah.
This is why I don't think it's a flashback, because it seems, at least he's playing it like, is it real? Oh, it's real.
Yeah, like, oh, this just got on me.
But they could have absolutely done it like, this is what happened as he was leaving the Demon Palace episode.
It just seems weird that if that is what happened, that they were like, we're going to let you be a Power Ranger, but only a few times.
That's true.
Instead of just killing you while we're here, while we have you trapped and tied to this pillar.
So, yeah.
You could have Benedict Cumberbund over here just like run through you.
Right. He's a big truck,
but
basically.
Instead, here's a sweet tattoo.
Here's a tat from Evil Ernie's in Keene, New Hampshire.
I think they Krugered him. I think they did something to him in his dream, and it became real.
Yeah, I think so. And that's the end. Josh, I started.
Yep.
So what's the best?
Oh, you know, probably that part where they were fighting. You know the one.
Okay.
I don't know what the best is.
I'm also having trouble figuring out what the best was. This was a good episode.
Ryan's fight scene.
That was nice.
But I also really do like the wrecking ball just juggling two Power Rangers.
I think I'm going to give my best to the sibling stuff, like the little kid sibling stuff, because I'm a sucker for that. And I thought it was really done really well. They weren't like terribly good actors, but they were children on a Power Rangers show. So like, you know,
yeah,
what you're
I mean,
in
if
for.
They're starting out a little better than Viper, it's only up from here. So
yeah, they literally, I believed everything they said 10 times more than I believe anything Viper said. So that's what I'm going to give it to is all the, like, you know, you got to be there for each other, and you'd miss her if she was gone. That's all that stuff.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'll agree with you. Nothing really jumped out at me. There was nothing when I was watching that I was like, oh, dang, that was
cool.
Oh,
dip. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good, but it wasn't like a lot of like peaks. Yeah. You know? What's the worst?
Viper talking about the baby.
I don't know if that was,
maybe not. I can't think of anything worse than Viper. It's a very flat, like, I don't mean flat as in like boring. I just mean like it's a very plateaued episode.
Yeah, it was really even across the board. I think what was the worst? I think the worst is.
Is the worst, like, we have these feathers and they explode at midnight, and then after they explode, Dr. Fairweather's like, oh, the feathers really didn't do any damage.
Oh, I forgot to talk about that. How afterwards, during Ryan's fight, she's like, it didn't kill it. No one was hurt.
Turns out you need to have, like, a whole bunch of those feathers around for them to do any damage.
Well, I think it was just that they got them all. I think that's what they were trying to say, is that, like, they got all the feathers, so, like, the only damage that was done was, like, whatever house they kept them in is gone now.
Yeah.
Like, they shipped it to a warehouse, and that's just not here. I think the worst is probably, I don't know. It's weird. Nothing was bad, but it wasn't, like, it's weird that there's nothing that you can look at and be like, that was the worst part. Even, like,
it's just a very, like, again, it's a boring phrasing, but I don't mean it that way. It's a very monotone episode.
Yeah, it's real. It's pretty.
It's just, this is the middle of the road. This episode might be our like halfway bar.
This is the new double duty.
Yeah,
this is the double. We're just fine. It was perfectly fine. Okay, all right. Here's the worst. I'm just gonna say the worst is the two security guards in the beginning.
Oh, see, I like them. I want to know their story.
They were late. They showed up late. Everyone would have been dead.
Well, I mean, they probably just woke up. It seemed like it was late at night.
I don't know.
I'll agree with you, though. They were goobers.
They're just little goobs. Who's the MVP?
Ryan.
I think Ryan.
I think it's Ryan.
I think it's got to be Ryan. Again, not in like a bad way, like, oh, Ryan, but like in a everyone else. He's the only one that stood out. It was Ryan episode. It was his destiny. He did it. Good job. All right, now let's rank this puppy. So it's the new.
Did we fully explain the tattoo?
Yeah.
Okay, you did.
Yeah. Crawls up his back every time he morphs.
Every time you morph and you'll die. Okay.
So there's your out because it's American footage. So
that's why he can't fight all the time.
Yeah. Which is good. I like that they gave an in story reason for that. That's all I'm really looking for.
If you morph too much, you lose your power, Tommy.
It's a very Tommy. He's very Tommy.
Yeah.
If I can say one thing against him is, and to be fair, it worked for Tommy. Maybe it'll work for him.
Maybe.
So Operation Lightspeed is the first episode of the show. And I can't remember anything that happened in it.
Me either.
Everything below it, I remember, and I remember enjoying a lot of it. So
what is the very bottom?
The worst one is Wheels of Destruction, which was the Viper Has a New Dune Buggy episode, not just...
Okay. I think this is better than Viper Has a Dune Buggy.
Is it better than Cyborg Rangers?
I don't know.
See, Cyborg Rangers, I think it tended towards not bad, but it was on the lower end of good.
All right, what's the next one after that?
Next one after that is Trial by Fire, which is Carter Ball's too hard, Paintball's too hard. And obtuse Captain Mustache, not telling him why he shouldn't shoot at barrels.
Okay, I think this is also better than that.
Okay, above that is A Matter of Trust, which is similar deal, but Captain Mustache won't tell Dana that there's a bomb in the tackle box.
I don't know if this is better than that episode, although that episode was kind of silly.
A little bit. I enjoyed a lot of that episode, but it had like the same kind of... It was like... I don't think it was two in a row of Captain Mustache not saying what's up, but like...
Right. There's a reason they fall in order on the on the ranking.
Above that is Go Volcanic, which is the Volcano Checker episode with the real gun.
This is definitely not crazier than that.
I think it goes below a real gun, above A Matter of Trust.
Okay. I can agree with that. I'm on board.
Because I think that feels right... Because A Matter of Trust, like, there are things we can point to be like, I mean, here's what happened where it wasn't the best. This episode was good. It just, there's not a lot to talk about after you talk about it. It doesn't, like, stick with you. It doesn't stick on your ribs.
Which is weird, because this is Ryan's big turnaround.
Yeah.
And it's just so flat.
Which is weird. Like, it's hard. It's, like, when we say that, like, it's flat. It's good the whole time, but there's nothing that stands out.
I think the problem is he needed to be evil just a little longer.
Either evil just a little longer or, like, no, yeah, I think that's the only thing that would have helped. One more episode of him being evil or one episode of him being a Ronin before he, like, comes back and then is, like...
Like, I think it would have been cool in this episode if he showed up at that warehouse and, like, stopped the monsters from killing the Power Rangers. And then, like, when the monsters leave, like, the Rangers try to, like, welcome him to the team, and he just, like, kicks Carter and runs off. And now there's another episode of, like, whose side is he on?
Yeah.
We've got to convince him that he's a good guy.
Yeah, that or either that happening and, like, the same deal.
Or he just came in and, like, pretended he was a Power Ranger and then joined the monsters and beat them up for an episode.
That would have been nice, too. If between last episode and this one, there was one episode of them being like, we got to find Ryan. Like, we don't know where he is. It's just like Ryan out in the world, like, trying to figure out his place before he comes back to say goodbye and then figure out his place. Like, then I think this would have been a little better, would have had more. But it was good the whole time.
Yeah,
so, like,
I mean, it wasn't bad. It was just, it wasn't one way or the other. It just rode the line.
So, I mean, that, which is like, honestly, I had fun watching it. I had fun talking about it. It's just like,
I will take... If your bad episodes are just middle
fine,
of the road,
perfectly
good,
fine,
bring them on.
Yeah, I'll take that over The Lights of Orion any day.
Oh, yeah.
So that's going to do it for us for today. Did you see what the next episode was called?
Oh, the next episode is Curse of the Lightspeed.
Okay, well, we will see you on Friday for that. But until then,
may the power protect you.
gotten close to ham horn.
Delete it from your phone.
Not on your life.